Awesome manifestation is famous as Murari, the enemy of the demon Mura.
The ocean of the material world is like a the water contained in a calf's hoof print. His goal is Paramparam or Vaikuntha, the place where there is no material misery. He's not the place where there is danger at every step. This process is recommended here by authorities like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, and therefore we must take to this process in order to transcend nations. This is very easy, but we must follow in the footsteps of great personalities, and the success will be possible. In regard to the word Mahat Kritena, it is also significant that the process shown by great devotees is not only for them, but also for others. If things are made easy, this affords facility for the person who has made them easy, and also for others who follow the same principles. The process recommended in this verse for crossing the ocean nations is easy not only for the devotee, but also for common persons who follow the devotee. Mahajanayena gata sa panta. Translation of Lotus Eye. Lord, by concentrating one's meditation on your lotus feet, which are the reservoir of all existence, by accepting those lotus feet as the boat by which to cross the ocean of nations, one follows in the footsteps of Mahajans. By this simple process, one can cross the ocean of nations as easily as one steps over the hoofprint of a calf. So the Devadas are here praising the Lord because of what the Lord can do. Now, generally, people worship in order to get some result. They get a result according to the power that the person has. So they may worship Shiva because he has certain powers, or Durga because she has certain powers, or Ganesh because he has certain powers. So they've already shown that Krishna is the highest form. He is the cause of everything, even the cause of the other forms of the Lord. And he expands himself into this material world to give benefit to all living entities. So that was described in the previous verse. So how is that benefit manifested? So here they say that simply by concentrating oneself upon the Lord, who has got lotus eyes, etc., and is the cause of all existence, one crosses over the ocean of bhava. Bhava literally means birth, janma. But of course that means material world, where we have birth and death repeatedly in samsara. So one crosses over samsara by that meditation. When one does that meditation, then one easily crosses over the material ocean as if it were on a boat of your feet. You're simply by taking shelter of your feet, you cross over the ocean, so to speak. But the ocean itself becomes Govasapadam. The ocean of bhava, which is considered uncrossable, becomes small. So it's very easily crossable. So what this means is that by taking shelter of the Supreme Lord, the wise people easily surpass this material existence. They follow after the great devotees of the Lord, who have also taking that boat of the lotus feet of the Lord. So that is the statement made here. So in other words, the Lord allows people to easily surpass all the miseries of this material world. So in the previous verse it was described that he appears to give benefit to all living entities, moving and non-moving. So how does he give that benefit? So he delivers them from the material world. So benefit we usually think of in terms of giving somebody some food or some shelter or aid of some sort, a material aid. So that's the usual conception of giving benefit or giving charity. Huh? And that, of course, is quite celebrated in the karma yoga and doing punyas. So one is encouraged to do such things for other people. Of course, the reason for this is that by doing such activities, and one, we can counteract our miseries of the material world, our karmas, by doing punyas. And instead of doing sinful activities, we should do punyas, and then we get more good karma. But the very acts themselves help us to become detached from material enjoyment and material possession. So the more we give, the less material attached we become. So this helps us raise our self through the gunas to sattva. So the quality of a person in sattva is not materially attached. Not interested in material enjoyment. So if one continually does all this giving and giving and giving, etc., he develops this detachment from material things. So this is some process in karma yoga to raise a person through the gunas, as well as create good karma. So if one gets good karma, of course, that also helps one raise up through the gunas. That charity, of course, has to be done properly. So in Bhagavad Gita, we have charity in the mode of ignorance, charity in the mode of passion, charity in the mode of goodness. And they all give different results. So we have to be careful, not just with the charity, but we have to do it in the proper way. So the charity in the mode of goodness is done without attachment to results for ourselves. Then it becomes beneficial to raise us up. That is material charity. And so that means it involves material things, and the people get material results, and we get material results. In that sense, it is material. So when we say the Lord comes to help the living entities, then one would expect, oh, the Lord is also doing charity work. He is also raising us up and giving us food and giving us clothing and giving us education and doing all these other things and getting rid of our material miseries. But here, the point is made, no, he does something else. He gets you out of the whole material world. The ocean of material existence ends. So this is a more charitable activity. Because simply by giving charity work, one is bound up in sattva guna, and by giving charity to others, other people are bound up in the material world, so they don't end material existence. So the benefit that the Lord gives is he ends that material existence for the people. So ending material existence, of course, is very difficult. And Krishna also says this in Bhagavad Gita, mama maya dharatyaya. Maya is very difficult to overcome. But then he says you can easily cross over if you take to the process of bhakti, which is exactly what is said here. So the most people don't want to cross over the ocean of material existence. They want to stay in the ocean and enjoy. So for that purpose, they will struggle birth after birth. And if they are fortunate, they partake of the varnashram system and gradually they raise themselves to sattva guna. But then, after that, then they have to go further and they have to go to moksha. We get out of the material world. So, there, of course, there are two types of moksha, getting out of the material world itself. If we stop there, then we end up with impersonal Brahman. The other moksha, of course, is to get out of the material world and attain a relationship with the Supreme Lord, which we call prema. So Lord Chaitanya distinguishes the two, because most of the time, mukti for people means simply get out of the material world, finish. So Lord Chaitanya says the fifth goal of life is prema. We go beyond simply getting out of the material world and we attach ourselves to the lotus feet of the Lord. So, the process of getting simply moksha is through jnana or yoga. We can get that. But it is very difficult. It takes a long time and not easy. If one wants moksha, In an easier way, one can get that same moksha through bhakti. But bhakti simultaneously gives something else. That is, lotus feet of the Lord and prema. So in other words, the result of doing bhakti is not limited to simply getting out of the material world. As it says here, you can cross the ocean of material existence. That you can do that quite easily. But that actually is not the goal of the devotees. The goal of the devotees is actually to establish themselves in prema with the Lord. This is accomplished very easily as a secondary result of that. If the devotees also want this and they have some attachment to this, then that's what we call Jnana Misra Bhakti. They also want to get out of the material world, plus they want to attain the Lord. So that somewhat weakens the type of prema, and they may end up with Shantarasa in the spiritual world as a result. So, in any case, this is one result of performing bhakti, to cross over the ocean of material existence. But, as I said, the real happiness for the devotee is to establish that relationship with the Supreme Lord. And without that, the devotee is not satisfied. So generally, the devotees actually reject liberation. As they will also reject even Salokya, Sarsi, Samipya, and all these other things if they do not get their service to the Lord in prema. So that simply shows the secondary nature of liberation, even of the other four types of liberation, what to speak of Sayuja. The devotees are willing to reject those if they cannot attain service to the Lord eternally in prema. So, of course, we see many verses like this, which describe the how very easily one can cross over the ocean of material existence by meditation on the lotus feet of the Lord. So one of the purposes of this is to encourage people who are dedicated to getting out of the material world, that is the jnanis and the yogis. So they have to endeavor and make great endeavors to do that, but here they can do it very easily. Simply get on the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord. That's all they have to do. So they have to worship the Supreme Lord. Here, of course, it says, samadhi na veshita chetasa, which means that they have to concentrate their minds and their consciousness upon the Lord in samadhi. So then say, oh, that's difficult. Of course, we can say this is easier than the samadhi of the yogi, because the samadhi of the yogi does not concentrate on the form of the Lord at all. He simply stops the functions of his consciousness completely. So that is difficult to do. So the easier process of accomplishing the same thing is to concentrate fully on the Supreme Lord. By doing that, we stop all the material functions of consciousness. And then we get that liberation also. So for the yogi, of course, then it's the samadhi na veshita chetasa. Okay, good. Easy process. Concentrate on the Lord. Why is it easier? One is one can utilize one's mind. You don't stop the mind. Secondly, the object of concentration of the mind is very attractive, very beautiful. So that is represented here by the word ambujaksha, that the Lord has lotus eyes, which indicates the beauty of the Supreme Lord. So, and the mercy of the Supreme Lord. The lotus is considered very beautiful. And also refreshing and cooling and soothing. So the Supreme Lord also is very attractive, beautiful. And he's soothing. He's soothing because he is a replacement for all the troubles of the material world, or which are like fire, burning fire of samsara. So he stops the process of material existence and he replaces that with spiritual bliss. The eye is also important because with the eye, the Lord glances at the devotee and gives him mercy. He shows his compassion to the devotee. So if one concentrates on the Supreme Lord with his lotus eyes, one has a very beautiful form to concentrate on. So naturally, the mind wants an object of attraction. The nature of the mind is to go to things which are attractive. So if we get the most attractive object, then naturally the mind will become absorbed in that. So if one gets the object of greatest attraction, the Supreme Lord, then easy to get absorbed in that. And for that reason, even Shishupal became absorbed in Krishna because he was so beautiful. That is one aspect. And then the other thing is that the Lord gives mercy. He is very compassionate towards the living entity. And he aids the living entity. As said in Bhagavad Gita, I give the intelligence by which you can come to me, and I manifest myself and I destroy the ignorance within you. So very, very, the Lord is very, very merciful. This will only happen through devotion. The Lord responds to bhakti, and then he becomes very compassionate. I'm in my devotee is in me, but jinaram sama. But with the devotee, no, he's very, very compassionate, and he helps the devotee. So in this way, the process of bhakti is superior to the process of karma, jnana, and yoga, where the Lord is sama. He's simply looking at those persons. So he does not give direct mercy in the same way. Therefore, the lotus-eyed Lord gives his compassionate glance to the... He casts his compassionate glance upon the devotee. And the process becomes very, very easy by that also. That the Lord helps the devotee in many ways. Therefore, for the yogi, this is a much simpler way of crossing the ocean of material existence. The jnani, of course, tries to cross over the ocean of material existence by intellect, distinguishing himself as atma from the material body and material energy. So that is why we call it jnana, because it utilizes intelligence, intellect, to cause this separation of atma from body. So this also is very difficult, in fact, more difficult. Why would people do this if it's so difficult? Because they are attracted to knowledge, they are attracted to intellect, etc. So it's for particular persons who are interested in such things. So the number of people that can take to jnana is very little, very few people. Because they have to, of course, be very intellectual. And they have to be situated firmly in sattva. They have to be highly qualified to study the Vedanta Sutra and the Upanishads. So they have to be situated in sattva gun, be very brahminical in their behavior. So along with their study of Vedanta, then the jnana yogi has certain activities such as living in a solitary place, etc. Giving up association of other people, not speaking, mona vrata, all this. These become activities of the jnani. So he detaches himself completely from others and therefore, he practices vairagya. He takes vows of detachment from material things in terms of his eating, etc., habits of life. And he isolates himself from others. And then he studies the Vedanta. So, through that process, he hopes to reduce his karmas in this lifetime and future lifetimes and become fixed in Atma, or Brahman. How does he do that? By weakening the senses through renunciation. He, stops the senses from acting, etc. Simply concentrating on Atma. So, a very difficult process also. So, for the Gyani also, this becomes an easier process. However, it may be difficult for the Gyani to accept this process because the nature of a sadhana is to reject the form of the Lord, especially for the Mayavadis. So the Mayavadis will have very great difficulty in following this. Those who are not Mayavadis, but are interested in liberation through the process of Jnana, accept the form of the Lord. And they don't necessarily say he's a form of Maya, etc. But still they're interested in merging in Brahman or whatever like that. So it's a little easier for them to accept this form. So if they do so, then the process becomes a little easier. Because absorption in this form of the Lord will give great satisfaction because the Lord himself is Satchidananda. And then they'll naturally be detached from everything in the material world. And if they want, they can get this liberation also. In fact, it is said that without some worship of the Supreme Lord, the Gyani cannot get liberation also. If they offend the Lord, they fall from their position. So, therefore, the real Gyani also has to some degree respect the Lord, concentrate on the Lord in this way. If he does more, then he can get that liberation very, very easily. So, of course, the hope in encouraging the Gyanis and the Yogis is that through the process of making liberation easier by meditation on the Lord, they will change their mind and become devotees of the Lord. As we see in the case of Sukadeva, he was Brahmavadi, fixed in Brahman, it had nothing to do with the material world, didn't want to come out of the womb because of association with the material realm. But then he became attracted to hearing about Krishna because of Krishna's wonderful form and activities, and he became a great devotee. So once they get involved with meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord or the form of the Lord as a means of getting liberation, they can also develop further and lessen their attraction for liberation and become more absorbed in the Supreme Lord and then develop bhakti. This, however, can only take place by the mercy of devotees, or in rare cases by the Lord himself, as in the case of Sukadeva. He got the mercy of Krishna first of all, then he got the mercy of Vyasadeva and his disciples, then he developed. So generally it requires the mercy of devotees of the Lord to encourage them to have more attraction for the Lord. However, Krishna has a very unique feature. And that is that very easily, because of his all-attractive qualities, he will attract even the Gyanis and Brahmavadis and Yogis, etc. So that is why we have the Atmaram verse. Even the Atmaramas, who are already fixed in Brahman, become attracted to hearing the pastimes of Krishna, hearing the Bhagavatam. Because, why? It's about Krishna, who of all the forms of the Lord is the most attractive. So, therefore, this verse particularly also is good to illustrate the nature of Krishna. That if he attracts, if they meditate on Krishna, then definitely the chances that they become devotees of the Lord is more. Even the Gyani or the Yogi becomes a devotee of the Lord. So, in this way, this is a glorification of bhakti and a glorification of Supreme Lord, and particularly a glorification of Krishna with his most attractive form. But if one is already a devotee, of course, then his goal will not be simply liberation from the material world, but beyond that, to attain eternal service for the Lord. So he gets much more than simply crossing over the ocean of material existence.
from this prayer we see that they have a complete knowledge of the Lord. But surprisingly, they themselves are not pure devotees at that level. Mm. Sometimes we say that people may talk many things, but they don't follow. Can we apply this to the demigods, or they've been covered?
Yeah, of course, the demigods are of various sorts. The highest of the demigods are Brahma and Shiva. Now, Shiva is a demigod, but he's also not actually a jiva. So then he's never covered over by material energy, unless a jiva takes that role in some rare cases. And Brahma is usually a jiva. So the possibility that Brahma can be covered over is there, though it is very rare because he's a great devotee. And our particular Brahma also was guaranteed by the Lord that he could not fall in Maya. So therefore, he's a special case as well. So there's possibility that other devatas, who are also devotees, will make some mistake or other. Still, possibility is less than others, that is normal human beings who are not even devotees, or people who are less qualified. The devatas get that position because they are qualified with bhakti. So they get some privilege because of their bhakti. So the Lord recognizes their position, and definitely he responds when they ask for protection of the material world, etc. So they are devotees of the Lord, but because they are jivas, they can make mistakes in some cases. Still, we should not criticize the devatas, even if they do make mistakes, because they're also exalted devotees. However, the mistakes indicate to us that anybody in the material world is in a dangerous position, and they can also err or whatever, make mistakes.
Demigods means that all the 33 groups of demigods are praying, or only certain select demigods? The prayers by demigods. All the 33 gross demigods are praying, or only a select particular?
Well, it doesn't enumerate everybody, but one would assume that a majority of them are partaking of this. Not just the demigods, even the siddhas and charanas and all these other groups were also there.
What is the exact meaning of attend the lotus feet of the Lord, actually? We say we attend the lotus feet of the Lord, but what is the exact meaning it is, actually?
Yeah, well, actually it means that we attain eternal service to the Lord.
Why mentioning lotus feet here? What is the connection between the lotus feet and attain the...
Surrender. On the boat of surrender. And boat of the lotus feet of the Lord. Shishashika prayer says, you know, we become a particle of dust at the lotus feet of the Lord. So again, that means simply we surrender to the Supreme Lord.
All Murugan temples, no? Big crowd. Skanda Shashti. Skanda Shashti is all. So maybe find out book tables, no? Lakhs of people go.
Where?
Kavadi that day. Madapalli Murugan temple.
High post.
Sir, all Shiva temples.
Yeah, Aru Adi Prana.
Madapur and Madapalli. Aru Adi?